I'd like to read various passages of Scripture, starting in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, Exodus 33 and verse 17. And Jehovah said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast said, for thou hast found grace in mine eyes, and I know thee by name. And he said, this is Moses, let me, I pray thee, see thy glory. And he said, this is God, I will make all my goodness pass before thy face, and I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And Jehovah said, behold, there is a place by me, there shalt thou stand on the rock, and it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, until I have passed by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see me from behind, but my face shall not be seen. And just at the end of the book of Exodus, chapter 40, this is after Moses had set up the tabernacle in the wilderness, verse 34 of the last chapter of Exodus, it says, and the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And Moses could not enter into the tent of meeting, for the cloud abode on it, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And now I'd like to read a little bit from the first chapter of Ezekiel. To find that, you need to go towards the prophets, go to Jeremiah and the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and the next book is Ezekiel. If you get to Daniel, you've gone too far. Chapter 1 and verse 4. This is Ezekiel describing a vision that he saw. He says, and I looked, and behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the look of glowing brass, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof, the likeness of four living creatures. Now there's a tremendous amount of detail in this chapter, but I'll just skip to verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, as the appearance of torches. And it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. And I looked at the living creatures, and behold, one wheel upon the earth beside the living creatures toward their four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was as the look of a chrysolite. And they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not when they went. As for their rims, they were high and dreadful, and they four had their rims full of eyes round about. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither would they their spirit go, and the wheels were lifted up along with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Verse 22, and there was the likeness of an expanse over the heads of the living creature, as the look of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. Verse 26, and above the expanse that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above, up on it. And I saw as the look of glowing brass, as the appearance of fire within it round about, from the appearance of his loins and upward, and from the appearance of his loins and downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And when I saw, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. And now in the New Testament, the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then finally, in the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21 and verse 9. And there came one of the seven angels which had had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke with me, saying, Come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit, and set me on a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, having the glory of God. I think it'll be apparent that I wish to speak about the glory of God. But I have to add great hesitation, because it's a subject that I feel is almost beyond us. But we do mention the glory of God a lot. We say that we're going to do things for the glory of God. What do we mean? What do we understand by the glory of God? You see, God is truly beyond us to understand, and as it's very clear from the scriptures that we have read, God has indicated that man cannot look at him and see his face. He is beyond that. He is far greater than we would ever be able to look, to understand and see in him personally as God, who is a spirit, as we sang, a spirit, love and light, the Holy One. So to speak of such a one is something that I approach with great trepidation. But I've read of one in Scripture who desired to see the glory of God. And I think it's a right desire for you and I to have, to understand something of the glory of God. When we say we desire to do things for his glory, it's not that you and I can ever add anything to the glory of God. His glory is already so great, so glorious, that there's nothing greater and nothing can be added to it. But you and I, as understanding something of God, we can do so by way of revelation. God is pleased to reveal something of himself. And I wanted to trace a little of how God has revealed something of himself to the human race from the beginning of creation through to the present day and even beyond to what is future. And I would seek the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to convey something of this precious subject to you this afternoon. Perhaps the verse I should begin with is one of my favourites from the Psalms. Psalm 19 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse is mentioned too. Let me quote it correctly. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse showeth the work of his hands. That was something, you know, that God displayed right from the beginning. When he made the heavens and the earth, the whole world was created by him. Do you believe that? It takes faith to believe it. We trust that God's word, that what he has given us in his holy scriptures is true. And by faith, we apprehend that the worlds were created by him. And that's a wonderful thing. And by faith, we begin to see something of the glory of God. As we look at creation and we look at the heavens, we look at the wonderful starry sky at night. Something that my wife and I like to look for is the glorious light that he displays in the northern hemisphere, in the northern lights. We went on a cruise specially to see that last year, and we were rewarded with some lovely views of the glory of God, because that really is what it is. He chooses to display something of a glorious nature that reveals something of his own glory. And we begin to learn something about God through the things that he reveals to us. Now, the ancient people studied the skies, they studied the stars, the constellations. We have something of them written for us in the Bible. They're mentioned there. And you know, the illustrations of the constellations that have been handed down through the ages from thousands of years ago tell a story, and the pictures often describe many things that relate to God's purposes for us, the coming in of the Lord Jesus, his death, his resurrection. And there are images that convey aspects of all of that, if you've got the time and the desire to look into it. It's something that the heavens declare of the glory of God. And I think some of the ancients knew something of it. Job would be an example. Abraham would be another example of one that was able to study the sky and see something of God's glory. And so I believe that he has revealed something. But you know, Romans tells us something quite sorrowful in many ways. That even though the heavens declare his glory, and it says that his divinity can be seen by it and his power, you know, man chooses to ignore it. But God holds them inexcusable because he has displayed something of his glory even in creation around us. So I would say that that is the beginning of how God began to show his glory. But then he began to draw near to his people. He drew near to Moses one day as a burning bush. Moses saw this sight of a bush on fire, but the bush itself wasn't consumed. The fire continued, but the bush remained there. And he was puzzled, and he stopped, and he began to realize that it was a revelation of God to him. He realized he was standing on holy ground. And I think Moses, that began, shall we say, something in Moses' heart, his desire to do the will of God and follow God's leading. Where we read in Exodus, you'll find that Moses expresses a desire that he wanted to see the glory of God. And I think as you get a little taste of the glory of God, of his greatness and of his glory, you want to see more. But God has to say, well, there's a limit to what you can see. And that was really what Moses learnt, wasn't it, in that section that we read. But what God revealed to him, it's not really told, but it says, all my goodness I will allow to pass by you. And that's what Moses was able to see, the goodness of God. And furthermore, God revealed to him that he was a gracious God and he was a merciful God and he would show mercy to whom he would show mercy. There's a mystery about that. But the wonderful thing is that if you and I have known something of the mercy and the grace of God, we can know that it was God's intention that we saw that. And it's his goodness that has led us to repentance. And I trust that everyone here has been led to God by way of repentance and come to know the Saviour Jesus whom he has provided. We'll come on to that shortly. God has provided the final way, shall we say, the ultimate way in which his glory is to be revealed in the person of his Son. That's what the writer of Hebrews begins his letter with. God, having spoken in many ways formerly, now is speaking in the person of his Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come on to that shortly. But God, as we trace his ways through Scripture, we find that he revealed his glory to individuals like Moses, only allowed to see so much. It's a wonderful passage, isn't it? He was made to stand in the cleft of a rock. The rock speaks to me of the Lord Jesus himself. You know, that's the way we are able to approach God, by knowing something of Jesus. Jesus provided that place that upon which he could stand, a foundation, you might say, but there was a cleft, a place that he could go into and be protected as God passed by, and God put his hand over him. So when his glory passed by, he wouldn't see his face, and he would be preserved as a result of that. But he was allowed to see the God after he had passed by. His hand, he removed his hand and was allowed to see. He said, "You will see me from behind, but my face shall not be seen." Moses saw something of the goodness of God, his grace and his mercy, which he felt and experienced, and it guided him. The rest of the book is taken up with the instructions as to how Moses was to give the instructions for the building of the tabernacle and the ark, a place where God could dwell. And I just read that little bit at the end of Exodus, which shows that the glory of God filled the tabernacle. The cloud, a cloud of glory, covered the tent of meeting. Moses could not enter into the tent of meeting. He wasn't allowed to, because the glory of God filled it. We know that provision was made for the high priest to enter in once a year, only once a year. And the high priest was privileged to be there in the presence of the glory of God. But there were very strict measures to be taken before he was allowed in. And I haven't got the time to go into any of that today. But it's worth contemplating the way the high priest was able to enter in and see the glory of God. And you'll find that it's all based on that which speaks of the coming in of the Lord Jesus and his dying and his sacrifice, the shedding of his precious blood. That is the only way you and I can enter in to the presence of God, by the believing on that finished work. And so the glory of God was there amongst his people in the tabernacle, in the holy place, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, another reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think what we're beginning to see is that as God reveals his glory more and more, it's associated with the man that was in his heart, the Lord, his Son, his well-beloved Son. And that there's indications throughout Scripture that the only way that you and I will ever understand the glory of God is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we find that he continued with the human race for many thousands of years after Moses, a couple of thousand of years or so. And we find in Ezekiel, we come to a point where God was beginning to realize and bring to bear upon the human race his judgment because of the way that things were. Even his own people had turned away from him and turned to idols. And Ezekiel was the prophet in that day. It's probably around about 500 years or so before the Lord Jesus came into the world. And this first chapter of Ezekiel, I read it again with some hesitation because it was a vision that was given to Ezekiel to see something of the glory of God. But again, it's not the actual thing, it's a likeness. You see the word likeness come in time and time again in that passage. And yet you see, again, something else being revealed. There's a likeness of a man in the glory that was being shown to Ezekiel. And that points to me, again, to the Lord Jesus, that God is building up to the point when he is going to reveal himself in the person of his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the time came, he sent him into this world so that whosoever believed on him would not perish, but have everlasting life and have the prospect of being forever in the presence of God. You know, something that might have seemed impossible from what we've spoken of already about the glory of God. But Ezekiel was given something, and in a way it would have been good to read the whole chapter. I'll leave that for you to do at some time, because it would be nice if you didn't just forget what has been said today, but followed it up and did your own study as to these things. Ezekiel saw a fantastic vision. Some people have tried to draw an illustration of this vision that he saw. So you might care to perhaps ask your parents if you haven't got a book that might show you this vision. But there are depictions of it. Godly men have tried to display something of this. It's a picture of great fire and brilliance and bright light and glory. It's a picture of various things which I think help us to understand a little of the glories of God, a little of his nature, a little of what characterizes him. And I'll just hope to pick out a few little things. It begins, doesn't it, with a great cloud and fire. Fire, you know, speaks to me of the holiness of God. And we had it in the hymn that we started with, that he is the Holy One. Fire has an ability to burn up all impurities. Fire has the ability to purge things like silver and gold that we think are already very precious, but they refine to the point where the fire is able to bring out the purity. So I think fire speaks to the holiness and the purity of God. And that was something that Ezekiel appreciated immediately from this vision. Then it goes on to say that out of the midst of that fire there appeared the likeness of four living creatures. Now, if you follow scripture through, you'll find other mentions of living creatures. And the Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation, he begins his visions from chapter 4 onwards with a vision of the glory of God that he saw. And again, you find the living creatures mentioned there. It says they had the likeness of a man. Again, we're having the hint that God is revealing himself. He's going to reveal himself as a man. There's detail about the four faces that they had. There was the face of a man, there was the face of a lion, face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And all of those things perhaps bring out something of the, again, the glories of God.